Welcome in to the weekend watch list. Happy to be back with you for a weekend watch list. We haven't done this in about a month. So if you're new to the Snowtap Network, first of all, thank you. We appreciate the support. Second of all, what the weekend watch list is basically invention or a podcast I created in fall to basically keep up with all the happenings going on during the weekend. So basically picking out what are the best games to watch. I usually, it's my view, so everybody's different. And I was going to stop after football was over and say, all right, we'll go to like Free Talk Fridays and sort of, because here's the thing, Friday usually is not a day for news. Usually you might get the late afternoon Friday news dump, but that you just talk about on a Daily Tap on Saturday. So usually the news is not great on Friday for a lot of topics. So that's why the watch list was selected, the watch list was chosen. And then we just kept having good weekends of sports. So I kept it rolling. I can't make any promises that it will stay. I think once the NBA is done, we may take a two-month hiatus before football gets back into the mix. Just from the fact that really the only things on that for a few months are baseball and golf. And that's it. So we don't really have much other sports to talk about, besides baseball and golf. So we'll put a hiatus, bring back Free Talk, in summer. But, and who knows? And sometimes news breaks, like last 2 weeks, we had Tapping the Keg, previewing the NBA playoffs, which was like its own weekend watch list in sheep's clothing, let's just say. And the week prior, we had all the news about the Green Bay Packers. So, this is a, you know, it's kind of a moving target, if you will. So this week we do have the weekend watch list. Excited to talk to you guys today about all the games going on. Apologize for the later podcast taping. I had off of work today, so I am taping a little later than usual. All right, let's get into it. The obvious number one this weekend is the Bucks taking on the Pistons. Game 3 in Detroit. We talked a little bit about this on the Daily Tap yesterday. You can go back and listen to that if you would prefer to talk about what happened in Game 2, get you ready. I think this is going to be a really challenging game for the Bucks. I do not expect this to be easy for Milwaukee. I don't know if it'll be a lot of the same where the Pistons give the Bucks a challenge in the first half and then the Bucks come through in the second. I mean, they have dominated the Pistons through two games. The Bucks are an 8.5-point favorite on the road, and that's the highest road favorite I've seen thus far. Although I take it back, the Warriors were around eight and a half today again or yesterday against the Clippers, which they easily took care of. But the Pistons, I'm sure, will play with a lot of pride. I don't know if we'll see more of that small ball lineup, and they'll try to use that more often, less of Andre Drummond. I doubt you'd see Andre Drummond off the court. We'll see if Blake Griffin can come back. You know, obviously the reports are that he's not going to play and that they're just sort of playing coy with, you know, the how it's going, but we'll see. We'll also see the Bucks kind of, they get tested a little bit from a fatigue standpoint with playing Saturday and then again on Monday. So it'll be a quick, could be a very quick, could be over, on Monday, or the Bucks, you know, will have to try to bounce back if they were to fall to Detroit on Saturday night. It should be a good crowd, should be a lot of fun. But yeah, the Bucks haven't been really any signs to think the Pistons can stop them at this point and give them a game. So I'm not gonna lean that way. The Bucks' average margin of victory has been somewhere in the 14s, 15s against this team. They've covered, I think they're 5-0-1 against the spread versus Detroit this year. So it's really hard for me to look at that and be like, okay, the Bucks are losing this game, or this game's gonna be close. So I think the Bucks get up to 3-0. I think we're talking about a sweep on Monday's Daily Tap. On to number two, it is the Brewers and Dodgers series. They keep that going. Brewers lost last night. Really tough effort. Julio Urias was awesome. Dominated the Brewers bats, and Zach Davies couldn't get through six innings, which was kind of costly because Matt Albers came in, gave up two home runs to Cody Bellinger and Max Muncy. That was all the offense that the Dodgers needed. Eddie Cedar had a bad send. Christian Yelich could have been up with two on, two out. Instead, Cedar decided to send Hernan Perez. Great decision. Exactly what you want to do. So this is a big game here Friday tonight for the Brewers. I will actually be in the attendance. If you see me, feel free to say hi. And they'll be facing off against Ross Stripling, who was very good against them on Sunday. Yulish Chacin for the Brewers. Chacin struggled against the Dodgers in that same game. But with Hyung Ryu and Clayton Kershaw this weekend, I think you need to get at least a game tonight, and hopefully that you can find a way to split. Because I think you'd want to win these first two and then house money your way into the weekend. But unfortunately, you did not do that. You lost on Thursday. So the Brewers will have to try to get a win here. I think it would be a very much an uphill battle if they lost tonight and had to deal with those two. That being said, the Brewers are 12-7. I think they're 12-7. Are they 12? They might be 12-8 actually. 12-8. I mean, with how their schedule is right now, we've all sort of said collectively, if the Brewers are 12-8. If the Brewers are 500 at the end of April, I think that's a win. So for them to lose a few games in a row to the Dodgers, I think would not surprise anybody. We'll see how they do against Stripling, who's a little worse on the road. So you do have that going for the crew. And even though they struggle against Urias, who they just saw, usually when you face a guy for a second time, you can kind of pick up on some things that you missed the first time around. Number three is the Oklahoma City Portland series. So I say series because there will be a game Friday and there will be a game Sunday. So they will play game three and four. I don't know what to make of what's happened thus far with the Thunder. Now Paul George is clearly hurt. I think there is no bones about that. I think Paul George is really hurt. I think the shoulder injury is bothering him. The Thunder definitely scuffled down the stretch and then picked it up for a couple weeks to avoid basically playing the Warriors. And so the Blazers are taking advantage of that, and they dominated Oklahoma City in game two, which really was surprising. And Vegas seems to think, though, that Oklahoma City can get it done tonight. I mean, they have them as a 7.5-point favorite. That, to me, seems really high, but it almost seems too high that you just roll with Oklahoma City because it just doesn't make any sense. And when it doesn't make any sense and the obvious is there, you go the other way. Because the Thunder have not shown anything to be like they should be 7.5-point favorites. That's crazy high. But they have been a good home team. They beat the Blazers here twice last year. I think there's a lot to be said about that game three pride, especially if you're down 2-0. It is the backs against the wall. You sort of give the kitchen sink, and the crowds can influence a game. Now, some crowds are different than others. We'll talk about one crowd that I don't know if they're enough, but the Thunder crowd is a rabid fan base. So they're going to be loud. They're going to be hyphy. So we'll see if they can help guide their team to a game three victory. If not, it could be curtains for the Thunder. Blazers obviously kind of look like, and it's crazy to think, and you know, I think few people have said it, like the Blazers, Thunder, San Antonio, or Denver are going to be in the Western Conference Finals. Those four teams are going to be there. And right now, if you were to say out of those four, it's probably the Blazers that look like the best team. And you just kind of wonder how good this team could have been if Yusuf Nurkic is there. I mean, they're already playing well with Kanter. But I think the part that frustrates the Thunder is Kanter, even though he's not that great defensively, he's a big body that gets in the way of Steven Adams. That hurts them inside, especially with, and after Paul George, Adams, and Westbrook, there isn't really much. I think there's a lot of pressure on Russell Westbrook in this game, considering that the narrative around him is the selfishness. He's not a team player. He's just caring about his stats. I think that's out there. I think that's really that he needs to kind of prove the haters wrong. Number four for me is the Sixers and Nets. So the Nets, that's a Saturday afternoon game, 2 p.m. By the way, Thunder Blazers tonight on ESPN. And then I believe they also have a night game on Sunday. So 76ers and Nets, that's an early start on Saturday. The Sixers trying to go up 3-1 against the Nets after losing game one. No Joel Embiid on Thursday. He was bothered by his knee injury. Not quite sure if we're going to see Embiid in game four. The Sixers looked fine without him. They kind of took care of business, which was really surprising. And it almost makes me wonder if Embiid is impeding the Sixers' sort of flow and hustle. Not saying that he is when he's fully healthy, but right now, you know, are they a better team without Embiid and let him get healthy and hopefully he's ready for that Toronto series and that we can do it without him? Yeah, you have to ask that question after they kind of took care of business against the Nets team that I would have expected a lot more at home. They've been a good home team all year. And for them to struggle last night was really actually surprising. I was very stunned to think. I mean, Simmons did have 39 points. I think this is the kind of the game you wanted from Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons has been sort of quiet in the postseason, and he finally steps up 31-9, 11-13 from the field. Really good game from him. Also, you know, it helps when J.J. Redick and Tobias Harris make 11 threes. Now, granted, they were the only guys to make threes, but Tobias, huge line last night, 29 points, 16 rebounds. So you're just going to have to get more from this team. Joe Harris is going to have to step up. D'Angelo Russell was pretty bad in game three. So they're going to just need more. And I don't know if they're going to push Caris LeVert to be a starter versus Damari Carroll, if he's probably not ready for that. But it was a really weak effort by the Nets, who just weren't in this game from the start. They struggled, and so they'll try to force a game six and get back to Brooklyn with game four. But definitely backs are against the wall here, because the Nets have now beat the Nets by double digits in the last two games. Taking a break from the NBA for our number five, which is the RBC Heritage. It is the golf tournament after the Masters. So some may say, oh, well, it's after the Masters. It's a shitty course. It's a shitty, you know, field. Not so fast, my friends. It's a fun course. It's a short course, Pete Dye course, but it is also a pretty good field. The field is loaded. Some of the guys who are in the mix are, you know, top players. Dustin Johnson, only a few shots back right now as we tape Friday morning. You have Jordan Spieth trying to make the cut, Matt Kuchar, Tommy Fleetwood, Xander Schauffele, bunch of names. Mark Leishman's in there. Bryson DeChambeau also in the mix as well. So we'll see if all those guys can make the cut. They're above the cut line as we speak. Molinari actually underneath the cut, which I think is actually very predictable given, you know, his sort of collapse last week, and now you have to go and play more golf. It's admirable that he played, but definitely kind of questionable in its own right. So I think it should be a good, fun tournament. Charlie Hoffman, Kevin Na leading as of now, as I tape early on Friday morning. But we'll see what happens. But definitely something to keep on. Definitely a good Easter watch if you're with your parents or at home and they don't want to watch the Brewers or the NBA playoffs. Golf's going to be pretty good this weekend. Number six is San Antonio and Denver. This is a 4:30 start on Saturday. So you have San Antonio and Denver, who San Antonio blew them out. Derek White was awesome. Classic Spurs player, right? Like, guy's probably unheralded out of Colorado, and he wasn't going to be that much of a starter this year. DeJounte Murray goes down. He has 30 points last night in a blowout win against the Nuggets. The Nuggets now down 2-1. And definitely, I think if anyone's backs are against the walls, it's theirs. They're not in a good position, even though they go back to Denver for game five. This is kind of a do or die spot for them. They need to show up, and they've lost 14 straight in San Antonio, playoffs, regular season included. That's just bad, man. The demons are there, and that's not good. And San Antonio, you know, I think would have been they are kind of one of those teams where they were actually probably better than a 7 seed. They just sucked on the road all year. Like they had the third best home record all year. They were a really, really good home team. They just could not win on the road. And so if they were a little better on the road, they probably would be like the 5 seed playing Houston right now. And instead they're a 7. They're probably a higher 7 than so I feel bad for Denver, but yeah, they got to get it done. Jamal Murray, a little bit in, definitely the Spurs in his head. Jakob Poeltl had a sort of a hard screen on him that started a little bit of a ruckus. So we'll see what happens. Definitely Denver is in must-win territory here on Saturday. Speaking of must-win territory, Saturday night we have Utah and Houston. Utah has been blown out these first two games. The hype around the Rockets is massive at this point, and for good reason. I mean, James Harden's looked great. He had a triple-double in three quarters. The Rockets are playing really strong basketball. The Jazz have to do something different. They tried to do the Bucks thing in Game 1. It didn't work. They went back to it in Game 2. It really didn't work in Game 2. Now, we talked about how the Thunder crowd can will them to victory. Same with that Jazz crowd. It will be rowdy in there. The Jazz know how to bring it, bring the noise. But definitely a concern here with how well the Rockets have played through two games. They won in Utah earlier this season, so definitely not opposed to that. And we'll see. We'll see if the Rockets can get it done and get up to three games and maybe even sweep the Jazz, which I think would be surprising. I think if you were to talk about game, you know, I think the Blazers sweeping the Thunder would be more surprising, but the Rockets sweeping the Jazz, who've been pretty good all year, would definitely be a surprise, especially winning two games in Utah. So that altitude, who knows? I think that this is the one the Jazz have to get. They have to get this one under their belt and see if they can secure it on Saturday night. The Boston-Indiana series checks in at number 8. A weird ABC Friday night game. I kind of like that from ABC doing, you know, that as a Friday programming. That will be tonight. And then you also have Sunday on ABC at noon for Boston and Indiana. This is the opposite of the first two games I've talked about the home crowds. I don't really like the Pacers crowd that much. They get into it, sure, they're all right. But it feels more and more like the Pacers just have these cold spells because they don't have Victor Oladipo and Boston has Kyrie Irving, and that's the difference. And it's hard for me to look at that series and say it's not going to be over in 4 or 5. Now, also Brad Stevens, the Indiana background being coaching at Butler, there's a lot of pride there as well. And, you know, he, I don't think, wants to be embarrassed in his home state. So there, it should be a decent game on Saturday, on tonight. I expect the Pacers to give them a game, although they're favored, and that to me makes zero sense. I don't know how I can look at that and say the Pacers should be favored. Sure, they've been a good home team all year, but the Pacers just beat the teams they were supposed to. They did not do well against the top teams in the East or the West all year. They, especially after Oladipo, they were not that good at home against those teams. So I really do like the Celtics tonight, and I think I like the Celtics to sweep. I think you'll have both the Bucks and Celtics sweeping and getting on to that second round where we'll really know some things. Number 9, kind of deviating a little bit, just talking playoff hockey. So I have not watched much hockey. I think in years past, I'd get into playoff hockey. And I think part of it was I had more time. I cared a little less about the NBA. And just, you know, so I follow along with people who tweet about it, talk about it. Every now and again, throw on a late game. But few games to just keep an eye on. And what I realized here, looking at this weekend, you have a lot of close series. Now, a few series are over. The Islanders swept the Penguins. And then you had the shocking sweep of the Blue Jackets and the Lightning, something that I don't think in sports we've really ever seen. And I think if this was baseball, if this was basketball, even football, if you had a team in the divisional round lose, like let's say a team was 15-1 or 14-2, and then they lost by 30 points or something like that, I think that would be such a bigger story than what happened with the Lightning. That was a big story, But it was, I think, because of hockey, it wasn't that important. So a lot of game fives with series tied at 2-2. Maple Leafs and Bruins, that's tonight. Stars Predators, that's tomorrow on NBC in the afternoon. Same with Hurricane Capitals on NBC, but in the late night. And then a couple teams trying to close it out. You have the Winnipeg Jets down 3-2 to the Blues heading to St. Louis. We'll see if St. Louis can do that or if we'll get Game 7 hockey. Same with the Avalanche, who are trying to go up to Calgary, also pull off a shocking upset of the Flames, who cannot seem to win on the road. They have a bunch of playoff losses on the road here. So that's talking hockey for you. And then number 10 is, to go even further of the obscure, just wanted to talk really quickly about the Packers schedule. So I know it's out there. Just a couple quick takes, couple quick nuggets. I'm not that happy about how many road games are in November and December. I think that sucks for the Packers. I think part of what the Packers are good at is, playing at home when it gets cold outside. And you don't really have that here. That's really non-existent this season. You do get a couple December games against Washington and Chicago, but that really isn't there. But as I was talking with Murph on the phone yesterday, he mentioned, don't sleep on the fact that the early season Packer games are actually a little rowdier because they're more like parties, because people are going out, getting drunk, having fun. And these early season games actually kind of bring a noise level up a notch. So maybe a tougher home crowd for the opposing teams in these early games. I know some are worried about the start of, from a defensive side of things. You have a lot of good defenses early on for a new offense and a new coach. But I'd push back on that and say, A, Aaron Rodgers. B, sometimes defenses take a while to kind of get rolling and get set up. So I'm not really that concerned. Packers also 5 primetime games with a bunch of teams that they assume that are going to be in the playoffs next year. I think they assume the Packers will be back there as well. NBC, ESPN, and friends, Fox also on their Thursday night, hoping for, big ratings from the Packers. And I think that is a good sign. I also am not really that worried. I think if you're like, what worries you the most on the schedule? And it's weird that the Niners, then the Giants kind of worries me, only because you think about that from a travel perspective. So it's, you're in Green Bay, it's Thanksgiving week, or it's the week before Thanksgiving, excuse me. You go to San Francisco. This is your third trip or your second trip out west. They'd already make a trip to Los Angeles earlier in November. So you've already kind of taxed those miles. Who knows what San Francisco will be? San Francisco might be a playoff contender. They may be just sort of marginal. Also, the whole LaFleur versus Shanahan matchup will obviously be a big headline heading into that game. So a match of wits between the two. Packers and Niners had that classic on Monday night last year, where we should have realized the Packers might not be that good when a Niners team who is marginal without Jimmy Garoppolo was neck and neck with that Packers team. Anyways, and then they travel back. You have Thanksgiving, and then you have to go to New York to play the Giants. Now, the Giants shouldn't be good. The Giants should be struggling at that point and kind of maybe packing it in. Who knows? Maybe it's Eli Manning's last swan song. But still, that's a lot to ask for a team. So we'll see. Hopefully the Packers come out all right out of that, but that's definitely a tough stretch. I'm not necessarily that worried about the back-to-back home road games against the Chiefs and Chargers. It's unfortunate, but the Chiefs game is obviously going to be tough. I mean, it is NBC primetime, October. I mean, it's kind of what you want, right? You want the Chiefs and Packers playing in a little chilly, definitely at night, Mahomes versus Rodgers. Kind of the same hype as you had around Brady and Rodgers last year. It's around the same time frame too. And then you go out to LA, and I'm not really that worried about that because it's going to be 95% Packer fans. That thing is going to be jam-packed with Packer fans. And so it really will be a home crowd, and it kind of gives the Packers an extra home game on the schedule. So definitely a few thoughts there. Obviously, we'll talk more about the Packers next week as we get closer to the NFL draft. which happens on Thursday. So that also, for that being said, we will not probably have a weekend watch list next week because we'll be talking about the NFL draft. Maybe a few, maybe like a half and half, right? A half daily tap, half weekend watch list, a collaboration effort. All right. Take care of yourselves. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your Easter with your loved ones. We'll talk to you tomorrow or Monday. Or actually, take it back. Roll that back. If I can, I'd like to do a podcast after game three on Saturday night. And then you'll have one for Sunday versus Saturday. So we'll talk then potentially. If not, we'll be back with you on Monday. All right. Take care. Have a good one.